This episode is brought to you by Manna Ministries Missionary Church International. Our mission is to elevate and serve the community, reimagining worship in order to spread the message in the 21st century. Manna Ministries. This episode is brought to you by Face-to-Face Graphic Design Company. They elevate designs that speak style and volume. Face-to-Face Graphic Design Company.
It's the unknown preacher. It's the unknown preacher. Unknown, unknown. It's the unknown preacher. Unknown, unknown.
It's the unknown preacher.
It's the unknown preacher. It's the unknown creature. It's the unknown creature.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. What's happening, everyone? It's us. It's us. It is us. Welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, the Unknown Preacher, aka LA, aka Uncle Zoe. In other words, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen, amen, amen. And my co-host, Jackie J. What's happening, Jackie?
Hey, how's everybody doing this evening?
Doing great. How's your day been?
Oh, it's been going pretty well. Good. This whole week actually has been pretty good. How about yours?
It's been wonderful, magnificent. I've been having a ball. Loving everything that I'm doing and appreciating everyone in my circle. Thank you for asking. So, yes. And beautiful people, we are back. Before we get started, I have some housekeeping items to address. Unless you have something you want to say first, Jackie?
No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
All right. So first, Erica Campbell and her husband, Warren Campbell. Listen, I'm going to eventually call you. I know y'all want me on your track. I'm feeling the song. I have my lyrics shaved. I'm ready to spit that fire. But the podcast is keeping me busy. I'm going to call you, all right? You got my word on it. Everybody, man, ever since this podcast, man, everyone wants the unknown preacher, Jackie, the whole team, man.
You're going to need to book an agent after a while.
I see. But I'm going to call y'all. Y'all got my word on that, you know? So item number two, I have to personally thank a few people in the streaming universe who have been truly following every episode, and it just feels good when people call you and say, hey, I checked out the episode and here are my thoughts. So first, Troy and Teresa Johnson, thank you for faithfully following the show. We've had some good conversations about the episodes, and I want to thank my cousin Ronald Brown. We also talk about every show, either that Sunday evening or Monday morning. And he has great insight on everything, including insight on you too, Jackie. But yeah. But
do tell.
No, everyone's feeling the chemistry, man. You know, they felt like I've been a little too hard on you, but I'm like, y'all just don't know what I have to deal with. I mean, I call or text and I get a call back 3 to 4 hours if I'm lucky. And then, you know, I'm told that I'm an afterthought. So, yeah, they don't know what I have to deal with.
Yeah, we've been doing this since, what, 1999?
Something like that. Something like that. And then I got to give a shout out to my old band member from the Joe's days, OZ, super producer, you know?
I still got the cover.
Oh, and thank everyone for their support. There's a button up top that says follow. Please hit that button, man. Please hit that button. And then, Jackie, you were on this. It was your first episode, our forgiveness episode. That seems to be one that I'm hearing the most feedback about. A number of people said they wished we went longer with the interview. And I guess mm-hmm. that's what you want. You want for listeners to want more, right?
Of course, of course.
Yeah. And then, you know, two people who are close to me listened to that episode and shared things that they went through and I never knew. So, man, that was just touching in itself. And then I received this message that I want to read. Just wanted to say that segment on forgiveness was everything. That's one of the hardest things I struggle with, but also the ending was the best. I think Christians try to bring people to Christ so forcefully that they push them away. Wow. And so when I heard that, I'm like, it makes me think the writer was really saying, you know, we can be very judgmental. It's what I got out of it. But now mm-hmm. this is your first time hearing that, Jackie. What do you think?
Definitely. It, you know, for them to say that, it touched them in a way. They've experienced it on one end or the other, whether they were involved in it or witnessed it, you know. And I feel like at some point in time, everybody experiences, like, you know, trying to be forced into something, even if it is good for them, you know. So I completely understand, especially the segment on forgiveness. That's going to touch everybody, you know. Yeah. I was almost about to start crying listening to her, you know. I just wanted to reach through and hug her, you know. Definitely.
Yeah, that was a touching episode. More to come with Apostle Robbins. We're going to definitely bring her back in another capacity. And and then I'm always talking about the team. And I have to, because the team is what got us here. So Jackie sharing the mic with me, Lisa reading scriptures, Grayson, our music producer, Ruby, who's been a talent scout. I kind of forced her into that one. And then the two people who helped me on day one, who are also my guests. And, you know, I'm really excited about that. But I do have one more matter, too.
Okay.
So, if you follow us on Instagram, you know we mentioned a major announcement, and here it is. Dun, 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 dun. The Unknown Preacher LA will record its first on-site episode on June 28th at The Gate in Kinston, North Carolina. Not only
sound effects.
I know. I need my producer. Yeah, see, you're right. We'll work on that. But not only that, we are partnering with The Gate and Manna Ministries to present a gospel hip hop new generation show. So it's going to be fire. And each week we will announce the artists who are signed to be on the program. So more to come.
I can't wait for it.
Yeah. Everyone and their mama going to be there, man. And I'm hoping all the team members will be there. And we're going to do some great things, man. You all are going to be really in shock at what you see. So a friend of mine said she was celebrating her 10th anniversary and was so excited about their vacation. And she mentioned that. And when she did, I thought how cool it would be to talk about relationships, because who doesn't want to be loved? And then I thought about my favorite married couple, QB. And I was like, man, they're right under my nose. And they have, in addition to being married, their own podcast, Resilient Love. So this will be easy breezy for them. So without further ado, welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, Brianna and Quentin, host of Resilient Love, members of our team, and the Kelly and Mark of the Gospel World. The Kelly and Mark of the Gospel World. Welcome. What do you do?
Welcome,
what do
welcome. You do?
How y'all doing?
We're good.
We are good.
We are awesome. Hello, hello.
Man,
I am preacher, followers, listeners. We are so excited to be here.
We are. It is a privilege and an honor to be here.
Man, the honor is mine. But what do y'all think about the announcement, the gospel hip hop? And the Unknown Preacher LA coming to Kinston, man.
It's definitely going to be an awesome event. It is something that will definitely bring the community out. We love to gather and we love to hear some good hip hop.
I love it, man. I can't wait. I can't wait. So I was excited to start the podcast, and you two were instrumental in that. So on the air, of course, I have to thank you. And you two, y'all started your podcast, Resilient Love, and you got married around the same time. Is that correct?
Yes. So 2019, we got married.
July. And then all October, we launched our first episode October 4th, 2019.
So you see who's the exact.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you see how quick she's. Hey, she saved you, Q, because, man, if you had waited one more second, you'd have been in trouble, man.
That's a file cabinet.
Oh, man. So I want to start with, you always have to ask how you two first met and who approached whom, because I know you both, and I have my own educated guess on who initiated the convo interaction. But yeah, how did y'all meet?
I want to hear what you think first, and then we'll go into the story.
So in my mind, I'm thinking that Brianna took the initiative on this one, but how am I doing?
No,
not exactly.
What? Okay.
So
at least that's not how I remember it.
Yeah, you know what they say. It's always two sides to the story. So
that's right.
We'll begin the story in 2005, mm-hmm. when we were middle schoolers.
Oh, wow.
We met at Rochelle Middle School. Mm-hmm. We were sixth graders, mm-hmm. and we were in like similar classes. And so it was kind of one of those things where you're just my cool classmate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eighth grade, we ended up being honor students together.
Wow.
First time in a class. So then we really kind of got to see each other more on a regular basis and to know each other slightly.
Yeah.
I always say she didn't really didn't see me back then.
Well, you're a nice guy by any chance, Quentin.
I saw him, but I didn't see him. So maybe somebody will catch that later.
So I had glasses in middle school. So this will paint a picture for you. I had glasses when I got to high school, ninth grade. I did kind of like, I don't know if you remember Urkel, and I
turned into Stephon. Yeah.
From Steven to Stephon.
Yeah. He was.
Did he get swag then, Brianna? Did he all of a sudden get some swag?
He all of a sudden, it just, boom, the light switch came on. I came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And at that time, I did talk to another gentleman, but it was 10th grade, mm-hmm. that we actually took time to say, okay, let's date. But we only dated for 10th grade. Gotcha. Yeah. And that story kind of ended abruptly, but we decided to just remain friends. So we graduated 2011 from Kinston High School. And so I ended up going to North Carolina Central University to pursue my bachelor's, and Quentin went into the workforce.
And from there, we stayed connected throughout that time periodically. And I would kind of make sure Bree was good from afar. we both were in relationships, but we just kind of quick check
the birthday check-in, you know, the Facebook happy birthday. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we both ended up getting out of those relationships around the same time, actually. So a lot came from that. We had a lot of reprogramming, relearning. And
and we got back connected in 2014. Wow. And so he was with me from July 2014. And so we actually claimed titles, as they say, in 2016. And then in 2019, February, he proposed. And so here we are today.
Man, hey, man, God is good. Now, let's go back to that 10th grade. Because y'all missed. I need y'all to paint this picture. I want to know how he approached you. What was his swag like? What did he say to you? You know, like, you know, can I carry your book bag for you? You know, I like your hair. And I mean, what was said?
I think it was it the 10th grade or the 9th?
It was 10th grade. We dated 10th grade. So I was in the marching band with his cousin. And I had shared with his cousin, I said, your cousin look cute. I said, is he talking to anybody? And he was like, nah, I don't think so. I said, well, give him my number. And so he gave Quentin my number, and it was a while. Like, Quentin did not jump on the number. I'm like, okay, how long do it take to dial 10 digits? It was, I'd say, a week or so later. And I was like, hey, did your cousin, you know, share my number with you? He was like, oh, yeah. I was going to call you. And so we ended up being, I don't know, in one class. Or no, he had JROTC and I had band.
Uh-huh. And we were in the same building.
And so he began to walk me to band class. He was like, I'm going to take you to band. And after a while, even though he wasn't in the band, we became the band couple. So it was almost like those little gestures. He began to call me. We began to talk. And so that's where it was. But
yeah, I mean, it was literally, I remember this like yesterday. It was like paparazzi. We couldn't go nowhere. I mean, privacy just was never there.
And it was so funny. One of my best friends, Kim, she was like, you better do right by my friend. I'm watching you. So, yeah, that was fun times, high school. Yeah, That's when it was innocent puppy love.
Yes. Now, see, let's go back to my first question. I said, who initiated? And it sounds like you did initiate this, Brianna.
All I did was pass a number. He had to continue.
Yeah, but you orchestrated and plant the seeds and all that. We're often puppets and don't realize it. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, that's a great story, man. So I know you two complement each other. Do you feel like you balance each other out? Like, I'm a 30,000 feet in the air kind of guy. And so to balance me out, it will take my wife what needs to be grounded, right?
Yes.
So how about you two?
Yes, I would say we complement each other in a way that's our personality. Brianna's more very organized. How else can I say it? More so, she has to have all the facts.
Yes.
Me, I am the dreamer that see 10,000 miles away.
Gotcha. Now, one of you fast-paced and the other person's kind of slower and methodical, like, hey, let's slow down.
Yes. Another analogy that a lot of people, I have heard a lot of people say, is the kite and the string. And so I think that I am the string and Quentin is the top of the kite, because I have to sometimes steer where we're going to go, because the wind can blow at any given way, but as long as you have like that anchor. So that's kind of how it's been. So when he made the comment about Dreamer, that's really him, the Dreamer. And I think dreamers and visionaries are in the same aspect. It's just that the strategy has to come into play, and that strategy that we use is prayer. So at times, you know, he is dreaming and I can see the vision of the dream, but we just got to take that into prayer. And so I think that is what grounds us in our marriage, is just understanding we can see past what we see, but we got to also take it to God in prayer.
Amen.
That's a beautiful mixture as well, because I feel like two dreamers is just, you know, you don't ever really fully execute. And then somebody that's just with somebody else that just thinks everything through, they just overanalyze, you know? So your mixture works for you very well.
Yeah, it does. I think it looks like we dropped them, man. I don't know if they were traveling and hit a... Oh, here we go. Here we go. See if we can get them back on. Hey.
Hi, we heard that sometimes, you know, the analogy, we want to miss, go ahead and finish that analogy. I heard you.
Oh, no, I was saying that the mixture that you two have is, you know, it's a great mixture. You balance each other out, because I really do feel like two dreamers, it's not going to work. And then two people that are, you know, logic and overthink things, it takes the fun out of it. So it definitely works well for you two. And you can hear, even though I can't see you, I know you both were smiling when you both got on. And it's like, I know that is definitely a couple that's in love, you know, and that it definitely shines through.
Yes. God is good.
Yes. Yes. I know people are always asking married couples this question, but I'm going to keep it consistent and ask so what is your secret to a successful marriage?
I would say, beginning with the main key on the ring, is communication. I would say that was the first reality check I had the first week of marriage.
Uh-oh, give me an example, man. Break it down. Let's hear that.
I got a really good example. So as men, sometimes we can be prideful, and it's not even because it's right. It's just because we said it. And sometimes we just get in our own thinking. And I had got in my own thinking of, you know, I'm going where I'm going. I'll be back when I be back. And somehow it wasn't even that I was just going up the street to the store, but I made it into a big deal. Because growing up, and this is where I learned that growing up in single parent homes made my perspective very dense. So that was the reality check when it came to communication.
Okay. I want to know, what was your first, what made you both initiate saying you want to be on a podcast together?
That is a good question. So when we first started, I told Quentin, I said, I really enjoy podcasts, because on my way to work, I began to listen to Blessed and Bossed Up, and she just gave a lot of great spiritual advice from God and how you can incorporate God in your business and just really letting God be your CEO. And so all of that was just encouraging me. But in me listening to her, I was like, well, where are the couples? Where are the ones that do it together? And I was like, I don't see too many examples of that. And I said, Quentin, I want us to be the examples. Like, I want us to share how God helped us thus far and continues to help us. And we want to share that with other people And honestly, we want to open the platform for people to share their stories. So that's where the Resilient Love came in, because we want to show how people overcome circumstances as a couple, as an individual, and just how they incorporate God into those real life situations. So that's the motivation of the podcast.
That's awesome.
Okay. Can you now, if you were to listen back to some of your oldest ones, can you see the growth in your relationship and where it is now?
Yes, definitely. Because we got married in 2019 and mid 2019, and then we went into a whole different level of living in 2020, you know, around March, our first anniversary was virtual or home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very big reality check. And I just see that it was an unfortunate thing, but it helped mature our marriage year by year in that period.
Yeah, because being home, that communication factor he shared earlier, I mean, we had no choice but to talk. look, at that point, you weren't even going to see people marriages get better or for worse was challenged in 2020.
Yeah, true.
In sickness and in health was challenged in 2020 because I got hit with COVID in December and was in the hospital for 5 days.
Oh, man.
By the grace of God, I wasn't on the, you know, respirator or anything, but it's just that sickness and in health, richer for poor, like all of those vows that we said, God challenged them in 2020. Every vow we said, we got hit with it. So, because Quentin had a job change in 2020, I got hit with the health case in 2020. You know, so all of that.
Our income shifted, our life shifted, layoff, just a lot of transition.
That was 2020. And so when we go into 21 and of course to today, you know, honestly, our testimony, it was God's grace because, you know, it was that moment when I had to go to the hospital and Q was home and all of that. That was a real moment of reflection. Like, Jesus, I don't want to die in this. And I know other people were faced with that challenge during the pandemic, and we pray for those individuals. But at that moment for us, it was like, God, we only have had a year together.
Barely, yeah.
Right.
And it was like, Jesus, please spare us. And he did, and we just running for him.
Wow.
Well, that's definitely beautiful. I know some people, you know, couples go through things, and then after a while, they'll want to talk about it. And it's like, you know, we made through it. But for you to have that podcast and, you know, show it in real time how you're dealing with certain things, you know, I think that definitely is motivation for couples and for myself, a single person. Like, okay, it can be done, you know, especially when God hits you with the bundle pack all within for a couple of years. That's definitely motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finances, those challenges, those hurdles with finances can definitely test the marriage, man. Over and over again, you hear about that. So adding that with health, wow, man. Mm-hmm. So have you two ever had, like, Jackie brought up Resilient Love, a somewhat of a disagreement or different opinion on the podcast that kind of poured over into the house?
Yes. So I am I'm a stickler for trying to make sure stuff is right and sound right, look right. Yeah. And Bree is more like done
is better than perfect.
Yes.
My stomach. That's like water and oil.
separate, honey. It's separate.
Oh,
Lord have mercy. So in my motivation of being done better than perfect, it does cause an argument.
Yes.
But we are getting better by the grace of God. But yes, that has been one of our cases.
The way we do it, when we first started, we had to come to an agreement.
Uh-huh.
It looked like the Senate. We both sat from opposite ends of the table to talk this out. Because I'm like, I don't want to put out something that's not right, Bree.
Yeah, he always says this. And I agree. I mean, he says, we have to be the podcast, Brianna.
Yeah.
We have to be resilient love.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we are preparing these episodes, we have to be the first partaker. And, you know, we hear leaders say that, you know, in the church and other arenas. You know, I am the first partaker. Like, anytime we put something out, we walked it or we're walking through it. And we want to, you know, be a voice of encouragement. That's like the real thing about our podcast. Just a voice of encouragement.
Wow.
Does it come natural or is it stressful at times to know that you have that weight that, you know, we started this and we're leading something?
I would say it's the only, I really do love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing that sometimes makes it stressful is our outside work, trying to compile that into this and structure, carve out enough time and make sure we're creating, never lose that sight of creativity in the midst of our outside work.
Yeah, because that has honestly been a challenge. And, you know, we will openly share that we fell short with recording in the 21-22 time span because of just life challenges.
Yeah. Oh, we lost them again. Well. And see, I can relate to Q because I'm like that too. I get a serious headache when I feel like it's not where it should be. So I was just telling Jackie that I'm a lot like Q because I'll get a huge headache when I feel like it's not where it should be on anything that you work on and put out. So I can relate.
Yes.
So. Yeah, I'm definitely the one that'll stay up until 3 a.m. just to make sure.
If you guys want to compare it to animals, I am the early bird and he is the night owl.
Yeah. That is. So he mentioned that he grew up in a one-parent home. What about you, Bree?
I grew up in a two-parent home. And I grew up with, my siblings are actually older than me, 13 years older and 6 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I was growing up just me with my parents. I'm the baby girl. So there was a lot of responsibility in the sense of just like seeing how my older siblings were going forward in life and just aspiring to obviously just make my parents proud and do what I need to do. So.
Yeah.
That was really my thing. But yeah, I grew up with a two-parent home.
But you had a model, someone like me. I grew up, my mother remarried when I was like 13. So I basically grew up in a one-parent home. And so looking at a married couple, I had the Cosby Show and Good Times. Yeah. You know, that was it. And that's who I looked at as far as, you know, a successful marriage. But it looks like you had that in the home. You saw your dad and mom and say, okay, this is how they interact, this is how they work together on, you know, I guess responsibility, goals, you know. You probably saw that. And I can only imagine, I'm not trying to speak for Q, but I can speak as a from someone in a similar background that there are probably challenges going into the house. And he mentioned the communication. See, like my second year of marriage, I bought a car without even, didn't consult, didn't do anything. I pull into the driveway with a Jeep and it was like, what are you doing? And
what I didn't see anything
wrong with it. I didn't see anything wrong with it because again, I had nothing to go by, you know, so.
I spent the first half of my life with my mom and the second half with my dad, which probably in my just lately in the last year, really reflecting on my childhood and growing up, probably saved my life.
Yeah.
Staying with my dad the later part.
You won't like Trey and Boys in the Hood and that, and like
now I did grow up in that environment. So
not Urkel.
I know, right? Not Urkel. This is a whole other storyline. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but honestly, yeah, my environment, I never fit in with the environment per se. My mom, she did the best she could with a boy, yeah, and being her only boy.
Only child.
That comes with its own hurdles of making sure you don't baby a boy too much.
Yeah, yeah, it's deep.
And so my mom, she really, she made sure I got the things that I wanted, but my dad later on helped me to create more structure, a work ethic, trades. You know, there's nothing I can't do because, I mean, he had me working every Saturday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he is a handyman. He can fix stuff.
And my grandmother was a sharecropper. So she was a stickler for, I love my grandmother, but sometimes I did hate going to visit.
Yeah,
because you knew it had an agenda.
I knew it had to work. We worked for food, basically.
Man, very interesting. So I'm gonna change it just a little, and because I know that there are some young couples who are listening. What do you say to people who, or people single who, you know, are looking for that significant other? What do you say to people who say everyone is playing a game nowadays? You know, love, real love is like gone now. Young people today, I speak to them and they say you can't trust anyone, you know, especially with all the dating apps out there.
Yeah.
People are hooking up more than really matching up. Do you have anything that you would say to them as far as advice or hang in there? Is it a lost cause?
Oh, no. No. Love is never lost. I think that was a beautiful thing about even my journey. One of my friends, as I was in the dating phase of life, she was like, "Well, why are you so committed or connected to Quentin?" Like, you know, because at the time Quentin was exploring other options, and so I was just sharing with her like, I still feel that God is calling us together, but I'm also going to do Bree. You know, I'm gonna do me, baby. But I just also want to be real that I do see something there, but I'm gonna trust God in the process. So the advice to anybody in that dating phase, single phase, is this: number one, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because once you get married, it shifts. The attention shifts. Not saying you're not gonna have that time to yourself, but the attention shifts. That the way that the unknown preacher just shared how he pulled up with a Jeep. You know, you can pull up with a Jeep when you're single. You can pull up, you know. But when you marry, you better pull up that bank statement and let's talk about what you're about to do. But anyway, honestly, enjoy it. Number two, pray. Pray to be the spouse. Pray to be the person God wants you to be, number one. And number two, pray that God would align you with the spouse that's going to be your helpmate. When we go back to scripture, when Jesus pulled the rib, when God pulled the rib out of Adam, you know, he was saying that man, it was not good for man to be alone. So we believe that God has a person for you, you know, but it's in its time. You know, Adam was asleep when God was doing that surgery. So we got to know that there's going to be a quiet time for God to work on your spouse. There's a quiet season. But once God awakens, right? Because the Bible tells us don't awaken love before it's time. So understand that you are serving the author of time. So trust in his timing. when Quentin and I got married, it was the perfect time. Had we got married even a millisecond, I don't even know if it would have worked. I don't even know if we would have been on the Unknown Preacher because we weren't in the right spirit.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a timing thing. So that's where my two cents. But go ahead, Quentin.
I would say really two things. Number one, learn the person, not the model.
Mm-hmm.
Being that, you know, now that we have social media, everything's a model of who we are. But we really got to go in and learn who that person really is. And is this a good fit for me?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Secondly, I would say going back to some traditional
methods. Yeah.
So, you know, going on dates, going on interactive dates, going on dinner dates, putting your phone away, being engaged. I think there was just a lot of practices prior to social media that helped those people that made it to the 30, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that this is what worked. And it's a forever blueprint that works.
Wow. I hope everyone's listening. You guys just dropped some knowledge. I really, really appreciate that. No, that is so true. So true. You two have been so helpful for me. So let me, well, Jackie, do you have anything else before we start wrapping things up?
No, I would just listen to her talk about Adam whenever he, you know, he was asleep when God took his rib. So I'm about to go home and go to bed and wait until my doorbell rings.
Yes, honey. Go to sleep and God will awaken it in its time. Get your beauty rest. Get your beauty rest.
Oh, man.
So no, that was it.
Do you think so? I'm scared to say this because I don't want women thinking that I'm blaming them or pointing the finger at them. But so I think about like Steve Harvey when he had the book Think Like a Man, Act Like a Lady or whatever. Do you think that there are women who are tolerating too much from men nowadays? And that's part of the issues or part of the reason we don't see as many people getting married and staying married. I lost them that quick. Maybe it wasn't meant for me to ask that question. What do you think?
I was thinking while you were asking it that I do believe
we heard the question and the thing that we would like to share with that point is, you know, and we honestly shared it on our last episode before last, where we were mentioning Love is Blind. If anybody listened, watched that season, this past season, Quentin and I, our focus is that women, we have a responsibility to not allow the red flags to look like a carnival. We don't want to end up in a situation like we're playing games.
Yeah,
you know, right. If he is showing you, Dr. Maya Angelou said it best, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And I feel like as women, we are, if our emotional intelligence begins to decrease because we are trying to be fulfilled by a companion. And it's like, no, you don't want somebody to just fill a spot. You want someone that's going to be your purpose partner. And that's what I feel. So to answer the question, yes, as women, we have a responsibility to not play games with our time and our emotions. If the man is showing you, honey, believe him. Believe him.
Facts. And Jackie, you were about to say something as well.
And I think also a lot of times, you know, whenever we do have somebody to knock on our door, we tend as women, I know I've done it myself at times, even if, you know, they come with their faults. It's like, I don't know when the next one will come. So I've got to make this work. So, you know, maybe this is a blessing and a testing at the same time. And it's just like, I'll just, you know, just help me to be able to do this. And that's learning now. That's not our responsibility as adults to sit there and, you know, try to do that. You have to be on the same wavelength at this, you know, when you first come together. And communication, I think everybody's definition of communication is different, because they say communication is the key, and it's, you know, people talk all the time, that's communication, but then they still don't understand what each other are saying, you know? So I think it, you have to be able to have that comprehension with it too, as a couple in any relationship.
Wow. Oh yeah. And to just add to that, you know, I think that even with your statement about, you know, the gentleman maybe not being on the same page at the time, you know, there, you will know if you can work through the pay, if they on chapter one and you on chapter two, versus if you on chapter 10 and they haven't even opened the book, you gonna know if that's somebody you can really work with. And if it's like, nah, you definitely out of range. So yeah, I just want to add that 2 cents to that.
Wow. This is a whole nother podcast, man. I'm telling you, we could do so much with this. I'm sitting here and this little brain, the wheels are turning, like, man, we could Christian hookups on here or something, man. This...
Uh-oh.
No, that's
deep. Unknown partner.
That's deep. See? You, man. Okay.
I mean, this is all good stuff, for real.
It really is. It really is. Do y'all have any final words of wisdom, advice, or anything y'all want to share before we wrap up?
I'll share one thing. One of the things I liked was about the communication and comprehension. Yeah. I think that was powerful. Like, one thing that came to mind as I heard that was like the five love languages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And learning how to communicate to the person. Everyone can't receive in the same manner.
Yeah.
So learning how to communicate to the person,
mm-hmm,
in a way that they can comprehend and not feel ambushed or, but well received.
Yeah.
Right.
Indeed.
And we just want to also close out by saying we enjoy being with you guys today.
Yes.
And we just hope that couples or single individuals, all of us, just know that you can love again.
Yes.
You can love again. God is love. And always be resilient.
Yes.
Yes.
Work through it. Work through it. God got you. It's not over. And it can happen for you. That's really what we want to leave you with. It can happen for you. It's not just a them thing. It's not just a her thing. It can happen for you.
And even if it hasn't been happening, and this is even for married couples that has found themselves in kind of like a desert for a few months or a few years, it can happen again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You two, and of course, we enjoy working with you. You guys, so you have been more instrumental to the Unknown Preacher LA than you realize. And so I don't know if you remember this. So I was contemplating, do I work on an album or do this podcast? Because I've been thinking about this podcast for a while. And Brianna, you text and asked if I had a prayer request. I don't know if you remember that. And so I didn't have a clue about, hey, how do I start this podcast? And soon as you text me, I remembered Resilient Love. And I said, wow, they could. So you two, y'all helped my hand and helped get this off the ground. So I believe in giving people their flowers while they're here. So I just wanted to.
Amen.
Say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you. God is good. I do remember that day. I do remember.
All the time. So we'll see y'all when we come to Kinston. We can't wait. We're going to have a ball, man. It's going to be a blast. And that's our show this week. Again, I want to thank you, B. Quentin and Brianna, you too, definitely a blessing. Jackie, thanks again for having my back. Anything you want to say, Jackie?
I just want to thank you for having my back as well.
Oh, see, she's not that mean like some people thought she was. Oh, no. We'll see you all next week as we do our part to make the world a better place. And no matter how high we get, we'll never, ever stop looking up to God. Amen. 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 It's the unknown creature. It's the unknown creatures.